Oi, what you talking about?
Oi, quick, how's it going, mate?
What are you talking about over there?
Oh, I'm just telling the folks listening at home that this was episode 106 on the London accent and Cockney rhyming slang. Welcome all. I'll do that in my own regional accent. Welcome, everybody, to Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. And what I was trying to say earlier was, in my bad impression, that we'll be talking about the London accent and Cockney rhyming slime. They speak in a very particular way in certain parts of London, and we're going to be talking about that today. Me and my good friend Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Reza. And we'd like to thank Juan from Colombia for sending us his feedback. If you're a new listener to Aprender Inglés con Nosotros, welcome. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
Did we do that?
Kind of repeating it, but fair enough.
We are here to help you improve your English, grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, perfect your pronunciation, and all aspects of your spoken English. In this episode, the London accent and Cockney rhyming slang. So we're going to help you understand a little of what Cockney rhyming slang is about, and also look a little at the London accent. So this is from a question sent by Juan from Colombia. Hi, Juan, who sent us some audio feedback. So let's listen to Juan's comments and question.
Hi, Craig. Hi, Reza. This is Juan Camilo from Colombia. I've got so many things to tell you guys, but first thing first. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys because you have done a wonderful job. And, well, I'd like to tell you the history about because of my English. Because of my English and because of you guys, I was able to get a job in a bilingual call center. To be honest, I do not know how I passed the interview, because I only took an English course for 4 months. And, well, I know I have to improve so many things, but, well, here I am. I worked there for 6 months, and after that, I was fired. It wasn't fair, and I'd like to tell you why. But that is another story, and you know that the time is gold. Finally, I'd like you guys to talk about an interesting topic that I watched on internet, and it was about a guy who was talking about the Cockney accent, which is something like a British accent. For instance, a normal person would say, "Give me a bottle of water, please." But in the Cockney accent, it would be something like, "Give me a bottle of water, please," or something like that. I'm sorry for my Cockney accent. Well, mates, that's all. Thanks again for your excellent job, and keep on track. Bye for now.
Well, first, congratulations, Juan, on your job in the call center. It's a shame that you got fired, but you got the experience, you got the job, and I hope you've managed to find another job since you sent us your voice message. Did you hear any mistakes from Juan, Reza? His English was very good.
Very, very good.
And his Cockney accent was excellent.
Yeah, well done, mate. The only thing, history and story, I think he confused.
Yeah, he said it's a history. I think you meant to say, Juan, it's a long story. It's a long story, so I won't go into it. Juan was talking about the pronunciation from London, or really the south of England. It's called Estuary English because it speaks about the area of the UK surrounding the estuary of the River Thames that goes right into southern England. And people from that area tend to pronounce in a particular way. Juan's example was the dropping of the T. So instead of saying bottle of beer, you would hear bottle of beer, very much from the throat, bottle of beer. How would you say bottle of beer in Belfast?
Bottle of beer.
It's quite similar.
Yeah, so bottle of beer.
So that's that soft T sound, bottle, bottle. There's a sentence that really demonstrates this. If I said in my original Cockney accent, got to get a lot of it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. Got to get a lot of it. I would probably say got to get a lot of it because of the weak forms of a becomes a and of becomes of and the t becomes it, lot, lot, and got. So got to get a lot of it. It's really difficult for people to understand if they're not native speakers.
But if you go to the southeast of England, and particularly the east end of London, you will, from time to time, hear people who speak like that.
Absolutely. It's very common, especially if you go to working class areas of London and the south of England. It's very common to hear that dropped T, lots of weak forms and connected speech that make English incredibly difficult to understand. Do you have any advice for people on how they can practice their listening to regional accents?
Perhaps if they go to things like the BBC website and go to news and UK and then England and then do a search for southeast of England and even put in the word Cockney. And probably there they'll come across video clips with plenty of Cockney accents. But it's got to be definitely on a British website. You're not going to get it on an American, Australian or Canadian or Irish. It's got to be British and southeast of England.
It's got to be. It's got to be on, yeah. There's a very popular English series, like drama series, called like a soap opera, telenovela, called EastEnders, which is based around the East End of London. Many people on this show have London accents, East London accents. So if you listen to that show, you might need subtitles for the first few episodes. But if you listen to enough, then you'll start to hear the differences and you'll start to understand more of the way people speak in this area of London. So a Cockney, C-O-C-K-N-E-Y, a Cockney is a person who was born within the sound of Bow Bells. There's a church in the East End of London in an area called Bow that has bells, campanas. So the theory goes that if you were born in this area and you can hear the bells, then you are a true Cockney. That's the definition of a Cockney. It's a particular area of London and a type of slang. Cockney rhyming slang is a type of slang in which words are replaced by words or phrases that they rhyme with. Can you think of an example, Reza, for us?
Well, the first one is apple and pears, or I should say apple and pears.
Manzanas and peras.
But of course, it doesn't mean that.
No, it doesn't. So if you think of what words the word pears rhymes with, one example could be
fares,
hairs,
cares, hairs. But in fact, the answer is
stairs. So apple and pears means stairs. So if you hear, I'm going up the apple and pears, means I'm going up the stairs.
Not all people are going to use that expression. The only people who are going to say that will be probably Cockneys from the southeast of London. It's only really used by them. So if I were you, I wouldn't attempt to use this. But if I were you, I would try to identify it when I'm listening to someone in the London area or the southeast of England.
Exactly. Another example, if I said to you, Reza, to have a butcher's, and butcher is kind of thorough, but if I say have a butcher's at this, what would you understand from that?
That's to have a look, isn't it? Because it's to have a butcher's hook. Mm. Although the word hook has been dropped for some reason.
Enganche.
Butcher's hook, and hook rhymes with look. So to have a butcher's is to have a look.
So it's become quite a pretty common term in some parts of the English-speaking world, that if you hear to have a butcher's, then automatically you know it's to have a look. Well, where did this kind of, this way of speaking originate from? Well, quite a strong theory is that at some point it was used so that the police wouldn't understand what criminals were speaking about. Because if you say to your friend, go up the apples and have a butcher's at what's in my room, there's no way a policeman would understand that unless he knew the rhyming slang. So that's one theory.
So what does that mean in proper English?
To go up the apple, to go up the stairs, because apple and pears are stairs, and have a butcher's means look, go up the apple and have a butcher's. And that's one reason, so that policemen or the law couldn't understand when criminals or thieves were speaking together. Or it could just be a way of excluding outsiders so that people not from the area wouldn't feel, wouldn't be part of the group. That happens very often in urban areas with street slang. To exclude other people, they have this common language between them.
So it could be like a very early version, because it goes back many, many, many decades, an early version of like an urban tribe, mm-hmm. a way of identifying these are the members of the group, people who know that apple and stairs, apple and pears, sorry, means stairs, people who know that have a butcher's means have a look. If you don't know that, you're not one of us. Kind of like an urban tribe.
Yeah, as you get very often in rap and hip hop, urban tribe areas in the US, like if you said, hey, dog, they have their own language and their own way of communicating.
Oh, hey, Holmes.
Holmes. Yeah,
Holmes was kind of Latinos, like a Latino gang members. All right, Holmes, my homeboy, my friend.
So let's look at some other rhyming slang. If I said to you, she's brown bread, what would you understand from that, Reza? Unfortunately, she's brown bread now.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Because bread rhymes with dead.
Another one, she's playing the old Joanna.
She's playing the piano.
She's playing the piano, which I didn't know came from Aunt Joanna. I didn't know the aunt. It's Aunt Joanna, which doesn't really rhyme with piano. Mm. But if you say it in a Cockney accent, piano, it does. Joanna piano. Can you think of any more?
Yo, plenty. Unfortunately, I haven't been blessed with a very nice boat race.
Boat race. What could that mean? Face?
Yes. The Lord decided to give me the Lord's given me an ugly boat race. He's given me an ugly face, isn't he?
Your accent's very good. North and south rhymes with mouth. So if I said shut your north, Reza, it would be shut up.
I didn't know that one.
Shut your north and south.
That's a new one for me.
Shut your mouth. Ruby Murray, I didn't know. Did you know this? A popular singer. Born in Belfast in the 1950s. Ruby Murray is curry.
Yep, I knew that. We've got a plaque up in Belfast.
Really?
Ruby Murray, yeah.
What's a plaque?
A plaque, una placa, something to remember her by. It says in some building somewhere, Ruby Murray lived here. And lots of people laugh when they see it because they think, particularly if they're Cockney, saying, Ruby Murray, that means curry, doesn't it?
Ruby Murray, curry. So if you go to an Indian restaurant for a ruby, then you're going out to eat a curry. If you're going to the rub-a-dub-dub, where are you going?
You're going for a drink at the pub.
Or public house. So a pub is public house, and rub-a-dub-dub is rhyming slang for the pub.
Please don't say public house if you go to London, because they'll think that you've come off a Sherlock Holmes set from the 19th century. Say, can you tell me where the pub is? Don't say to someone, can you tell me where the public house is? They'll think you're from a BBC costume drama.
Or asking where the toilet is.
Yes. We normally shorten it to pub these days, although it comes from public house.
Why would you go to the rub-a-dub-dub? Would you go for a pig's ear?
Yeah, might do. For a pig's ear. They have a beer.
And if just...
So people might say then to have a pig's. Do they say the pigs, or do they say the?
I would possibly, but I would say pig's ear.
Pig's ear,
I would say I would use the full. Yeah, some of these are abbreviated and shortened, but a pig's ear is not very long, so I'd just say, yeah. Do you fancy a pig's ear?
I'm asking Craig because although he's not perhaps a total expert, he knows a lot more than me because he was born near that area. Whereas I am from Belfast, I don't know it so much, and I haven't heard Cockney rhyming slime so much.
Yeah, I'm not a true Cockney. I'm not from the Bow Bells area, but I did used to have a lot of friends from there, so I know the area quite well. If you're sitting in the rub-a-dub-dub drinking your pig's ear, you might feel a bit of a George Raft.
Uh-huh.
The famous actor from the 40s?
I think so, yeah. What is that? What's that? I'm not familiar with that one.
George Raft is a draft. Draft in the sense of there's an uncomfortable wind or breeze. Maybe the door or window is open and there's a cold draft. D-R-A-U-G-H-T.
Draft. That's a current of air, yeah?
Yeah, current of air, exactly. And the draft might be on your neck or on your Gregory.
Ah, Gregory Peck.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Gregory Peck, another actor, and he's your neck. So if you've got a stiff Gregory, maybe you've been sitting in a George Raft. of course, if you don't have warm socks, you might have a George on your plates of meat. Platos de carne. Have you heard that one?
Plates of meat are feet.
Yeah.
Because meat rhymes with feet.
And if you're not wearing any socks, your feet might pen and ink a bit.
To stink.
Smell now, bad. That would be sometimes shortened to pen or pens. Like your feet really pen.
Your plates really pen, would you not say?
Yep, your plates really pen. Yeah, they're penning. Pen and ink stink. Yep. Smell badly. Any more?
What about a porky? If I say to you, he's telling porkies, what does that mean?
He's telling pork pies, pasteles de cerdo. A pork pie rhymes with lie. So if you're telling porkies, you're lying.
Have you ever driven a jam jar?
I have driven a jam jar. Jam jar rhymes with car. So that's a nice new jam jar you've got out there. I like your car.
Do you know anybody? Shall I rephrase? No, I won't rephrase. It's an innocent question. Do you know anybody with big jugs?
Jugs of beer.
Yes.
Jugs of beer, ears.
Yes, that's
so
it.
Yeah, jugs or jug handles could be. So Prince Charles has big jugs.
Big jugs. What about Camilla?
And Camilla has small jugs.
Okay, let's move on swiftly to the next one. If I said to you, I can't Adam and Eve it. What am I saying?
Well, let's translate that. Adam and Eve believe. So if you say, would you Adam and Eve it? Would you believe it? Or I don't Adam and Eve you. I don't believe you.
When was the last time you used your bone? Sorry, your dog and bone, I beg your pardon. Your dog and bone.
The last time I used my dog and bone was this morning. Dog and bone rhymes with phone. And that is also sometimes abbreviated. Can I borrow your dog to make a call?
You mean can I borrow your phone, not your animal?
No, not your animal, your phone. Can I borrow your dog and bone? I'll call you on the dog and bone. I'll call you on the phone. On to clothes. If I like your new whistle and flute.
I guess it's suit.
Yep.
I don't.
Exactly.
I didn't know that one. That's a new one for me.
Yep. I like your whistle. I like your suit. It's a very nice whistle and flute you're wearing. What about trouble and strife?
Well, it could only be one thing, couldn't it? Wife.
Yeah.
Strife means problems. Trouble and strife.
Trouble and problems. So trouble and strife rhymes with wife. Also, you could just say trouble. So
people say, what might they say? Give us an example.
I'll see you later. I'm going down the rub-a-dub-dub with the trouble.
Can you put that into normal English?
I'm going to the pub with my wife. Although I wouldn't go out if I felt a bit Tom and Dick.
What's that?
Sick.
Ah.
Infermo. I'm feeling a bit Tom and Dick. I'm feeling a bit sick. You not heard that?
Nope. That's a new one for me.
I'm surprised, my old China, that you haven't heard of more of these.
Now, that one I do know. My old China or me old China is China plate, mate, yeah. Friend.
Mate is friend, amigo. So China plate, your mate, your friend. Tea leaf rhymes with?
Thief.
Yeah. So if you tea leaf something, it can also be a verb, you steal it. Mm-hmm. You're a tea leaf, you're a thief. And a cup of Rosie Lee. Lee rhymes with tea. So have a cup of Rosie means have a cup of tea. The last one's yours. I'll let you explain that.
This is one which I remembered. As I say, I don't know many, but Brahms and Liszt, I've always thought is a funny way of saying pissed, exactly. Which in colloquial English means drunk. So if you say, oh, I had 5 pints and I was a bit Brahms and Liszt, I was a bit drunk.
So if I said to you, Reza, maybe you can translate this into real English. Would you Adam and Eve it? I was down the rubber dub with the trouble, having a couple of pig's ears, when a tea leaf nicked my wallet.
But come on, Craig, do it now with the accent, because we were asked by Juan from Colombia about the accent as well. Go on, do it with the accent too, London accent.
Okay. Would you Adam and Eve it? I was down the rubber dub with a trouble, having a couple of pigs, when a tea leaf nicked my wallet.
Would you believe it? I was down the pub with the wife, having a couple of beers, when a thief stole my wallet.
Yeah, because nicked is also colloquial slang for to steal, to nick something.
So as you can see, it's bad enough, it's difficult enough when you use the Cockney rhyme and slang, like rub-a-dub-dub means pub. But then when you've got the Cockney accent as well, and you get things like dropping the final consonants, then it's even harder. So they don't even say rub-a-dub-dub, but they say rub-a-dub-dub. I was down there rub-a-dub-dub with the trouble, having. And Craig didn't say having, he said like having.
Having, because we drop, like the French, we drop the H. So having becomes having.
Yeah, the H at the beginning and the G at the end, so having. Kind of thing. I was with the trouble. Avin. Or Avin. You said it better than me. How do you say it?
Avin.
Avin.
Avin a couple.
Avin? Having. Avin. So really difficult, isn't it? It's really difficult.
Yeah.
We'd like to take a minute just to talk to you about iTalki. iTalki is an internet company that can help you find a one-to-one teacher. It's very simple. You just go to the iTalki webpage. You have a look at the teachers available for English or for whatever language you want to learn. Could be French, German, or anything, actually. You can read the teacher's profile, see what experience they've got, see how much they're charging, their qualifications, etc. And when they're available, the times they're available, and then book a lesson. Many of the teachers even have like a trial lesson where you can get half an hour for a very, very cheap price to see if you like them. It's a great system. You choose the teacher you want, when you want, as often as you want, and you can repeat if you want, or try a different teacher if you think you haven't quite found what you're looking for. You do it all at home. It's very convenient, home or anywhere you want. All you'll need is Skype. So it's just you and the teacher on Skype one-to-one. The prices vary depending on the profile of the teacher, but it's generally very affordable. And to make it a bit more interesting for you, if you're a listener to inglespodcast.com and you go through our link, which is inglespodcast.com/italki, then if you sign up, italki will give you 100 free credits to get you started, which will probably get you a lesson to begin with. Why don't you do that? Give it a try. I'm sure you'll like it. And then you might sign up for more, because you probably won't find a more personal and customized way of finding a teacher online anywhere else. So Craig and I are happy to recommend that you try our sponsors, italki.com.
Reza, so we've looked at the some rhyming slang from the London and South UK area. We hope you found that interesting, but are there any similar expressions or slang from where you're from in Belfast?
There are. It's not very well known. Many people have heard of Cockney rhyme slang. Even Americans have heard of it, although they might not know much about it. But nobody's really heard of any other rhyming slang. But in Belfast, we do have a few expressions. For example, if I were to say to you, oh, Paddy's a bit corned beef, I'm saying that he's deaf. Paddy or Patrick is deaf.
But beef doesn't rhyme with deaf. It's a different vowel sound.
Yes, you kind of got to go through a word in the middle which links them. Corn beef sounds like deef, but deef doesn't mean anything. But in Belfast, people say deef to mean deaf. For example, in Belfast, you could hear, oh, could you speak up, please? I'm a bit deef. People say that. So we understand in our pronunciation, colloquial pronunciation.
I think that's also how they pronounce it in Scotland. They say, I'm deef.
He's a bit deef, yeah. A bit deef. Scotland and Northern Ireland. He's a bit deef. I don't know if they say corned beef to mean deaf, deef in Scotland, but in Northern Ireland we do.
Do you know how they say it in Cockney rhyming slang, deaf?
No. How?
Mutton. He's mutton. M-U-T-T-O-N. Mutton is the meat of the hard, tough meat of lamb. So mutton and Jeff, deaf.
Mutton and Jeff. Wow, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's really quite funny. If I was to say that somebody's teddy bread, it's actually the same as Cockney rhyming slang, brown bread, only our Northern Irish Belfast variant. It means dead, just like brown bread.
T-A-T-I-E, tatty.
But pronounced teddy.
Okay, because tatty I've heard of as meaning potato.
Yes, in Scotland.
Right.
But in Northern Ireland, no, we'd say teddy.
Teddy.
But in Scotland, they say tatty, I think. In Northern Ireland, we say teddy. And we eat a lot of potato bread, which we call tatty bread.
It's very nice, so, actually. It's lovely. It's lovely. You've brought me some from Belfast, yeah.
So if you say a person's tatty bread, that person is dead.
Okay.
Is this a Belfast one? I think it is. Mince pies, meaning eyes?
I know it from Cockney rhyming slang, so maybe it's also, yeah.
Okay, but it could be both then.
Could be both.
So that's one that's used in Belfast and London. In Belfast, we often say mince pies.
If I say open your mince pies, I mean open your eyes.
Yeah. So that's one that we share then with Cockney rhyming slang.
Definitely.
One which is very Belfast, and I love because it's just crazy. It doesn't really make any sense. If you say, oh, I'm just going to have a wee juke at this. Gonna have a wee juke.
Never heard that.
I'm going to have a look. Because duke sounds with look.
But so, it doesn't, though. Duke and look are completely different vowel sounds. It's like...
But they aren't, Craig.
Beef and deaf.
But that's the thing, they aren't. They are in a standard English pronunciation. But in Belfast, they're pronounced the same. In English...
Okay, so you'd say duke and luke.
Well, duke, yeah.
Duke and look.
No, duke.
Duke.
Duke and look.
Because duke is ooh.
Long.
Long.
We don't have that in Belfast. This is my point.
And look.
I'm saying it too well. Okay, I'll get more Belfast for you. Duke and look.
Yeah, that sounds the same.
That's how we pronounce
that
it.
That sounds the same.
My point is that we don't pronounce that vowel sound properly in Belfast. There is no long oo in Belfast.
Right.
It simply doesn't exist. Mine's got a bit longer. I'm talking about my vowel sound, obviously. Mine's got a bit longer because I've been living out of Belfast for a while and I've started copying other accents. But in Belfast, there is no long oo sound. So we don't say juke. We say juke, same as look. So in Belfast, they do rhyme. That's the thing.
Let me try and say it in a Belfast accent. Let me have a wee juke.
Perfect.
It's almost Scottish.
A wee juke.
A wee juke.
Have a look. So we have no long oo sound in Belfast. So duke does sound with look if you've got a Belfast accent. So it's a bit convoluted, a bit of a roundabout explanation. But that's
why I can't understand your brother when he comes to visit.
Yeah. Me neither. It might be because of all the drink as well.
Yeah, it might have something to do with it. Yeah, all the pigs he's been drinking. All the pig's ears. Any more, Ezra?
That's all I can think of.
You're not going to go there.
Belfast.
Okay.
But I can think of a few from other regional parts of the UK outside London. What about from Newcastle? If I were to say to you, a deek. He's a deek, man.
I've never heard that before. What does it mean?
A peek. A quick peek.
A look. A quick look. Yep. To peek is to look quickly.
So Newcastle, if someone says, he's a deek, they're saying, let me look. Give us a peek. Give us a look. That's in Newcastle. So it's rhyming slang. Deek sounds with peak. And in Manchester, apparently, I've never heard it, but apparently if somebody talks about your Newtons, they're talking about your teeth.
That's also I know from Cockney rhyming slang.
Ah.
Newton Heath. No, Hampstead.
Oh, right.
In London, it's Hampstead Heath. Hampstead Heath, which is a park in London. Hampstead Heath, teeth.
Okay.
So if you've got like white, nice white Hampsteads, you've got nice white teeth.
In London.
In London, slang. Yeah.
So apparently in Manchester, if they say you've got nice Newtons, that's nice teeth because it's Newton Heath in Manchester.
Yeah.
So that's their version of Hampstead Heath.
That's interesting. Okay, we'll leave it there. We hope you've found it interesting and you'll be practicing your Cockney accent and your rhyming slang. If you have any questions or comments for us or any ideas for future episodes, send us a voice message and tell us what you think. You can record your message at speakpipe.com/Inglez podcast. Or you can send an email to us. Send it to me, Craig, at inglezpodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And before we say goodbye, Reza would just like to thank our sponsors on Patreon.
So a big thank you to all those who've donated money. That's Lara, Zara, Mamin, Juan, Sarah, Corey Finneran from Ivy Envy, Raphael, Danielle, and Manuel. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. On next week's episode, we'll be speaking about engineering, which is civil engineering, in reply to a question from one of our listeners. So until then, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. Hello, everybody. Hello, Reza.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. We've got some news for our audience, haven't we? Some very exciting news.
Yes. As some of you probably know, we won an award last year in the New Media Europe UK Podcasters Awards for the best education podcast, thanks to you.
Thanks to the audience who voted for us. And this year, they're having the awards again. It's in London. The awards are at the New Media Conference on the 18th and 19th of June. And the situation at the moment is that it's possible, very possible, that we'll be nominated in the category of the Audience Appreciation Award. So we've entered that category because we really appreciate you, our audience, and hopefully you might appreciate what Reza and I are doing with this podcast.
We've been successful in ending up in the top 10 in
what
our category.
What does ending up mean? What does ending up mean?
Ending up means acabar,
finish.
The final result, yeah?
Yeah.
So we've been very lucky ending up in the top 10 of the category for Appreciation Award. Thank you to all of you who voted for us via Facebook. But now we get to the second stage of the voting, Craig.
Yes, the voting itself. So from the day that this podcast is released, 29th of May, until the 10th of June, we're going to ask all of you to vote for us on Twitter. Now, we're not sure exactly what you have to do yet, but we will tell you very soon on Twitter and on La Mansión del Inglés Facebook page exactly what you have to do to vote for us on Twitter.
So please watch this space. That means keep an eye open.
Ser atentos.
Ser atentos. And as soon as we know from New Media Europe, we'll let you know exactly how to vote for us on Twitter for the Audience Appreciation Award.
So thanks for your support. We really appreciate it. And there'll be more news coming very soon.
Thank you all very much.